Because it was a great need for Bibles and Christian literature in Romania. In 40 years, the communist painted only 5,000 Bibles for a population of 20 million people, because they wanted to destroy the Christian faith and to destroy the church in general. Knowing the need, I was asked by some brothers from Western Europe to help them to bring some Bibles to Romania. And they asked them, great, just bring them. And you know, during that time, the Bibles were not brought in boxes like you saw the Samaritan purse. They were bought under the two-deck vans. And one level, it was the Bible on top of it, it was something else. Maybe sugar, I don't know. And I organized the underground chain of Bible and Christian literature distribution all over Romania. But as can happen, one of the men was arrested. He was questioned, beaten, and little by little, they came to me. And they, one morning, several big guys came to my home and they started to take everything out to find out the Bibles. They didn't find those because actually the Lord just helped me with one night before that to send almost everything out. But 100 Bibles that I had in a chest that opened like this in one of my children's room. And that chest was full with Bibles. And I just put a pillow and you know, a blanket on top of it. And next to that bed, or that chest, was a big library, a couple of thousand books. Being an editor, a journalist, I needed to read a little more than other people. And the guys, big guys, when they came there, they stopped to right to the library, and they started to take the books and throw them on the floor. And I told them, excuse me, guys, this is my bed, don't step on it, because they started to step on my books. I started to take them and I started to pray, Lord, you make people's eyes, you can blind them. Mm-hmm. And I took those Bibles and I put on top of the chest. Mm-hmm. They didn't find anything. Because you know what happened with some people that they got the Bibles from them. They just took the Bibles and made them toilet paper. And they didn't want the word of God to be destroyed in this way. So miracles in our Christian life, you can find anytime. If you have the open eyes, if you have a heart for the Lord, and you are willing to accept that is not by chance, it is by grace. And we learn to live a thankful life and to have a fruitful ministry. Why? Because we believe the word of God. We trust the word, we trust God, and we are faithful in studying, meditating on it, applying and you know, technology works well. Okay, thanks. He will be able to pull the remote control. Sounds good. No, just go back one step, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
The text we'll be looking into today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We have here three graces given by the Lord. We have His peace, His word, and His name. All three help us, the Christians, to become a fruitful servant of the Lord and to be thankful. I think that all of us, when we become Christians, we just want to be thankful in our hearts, to give glory to God for everything He's doing in our life. But sometimes we forget His blessings. I don't want to use a different word because I don't want to see grumpy people, right? No. First of all, in verse 15, we have a peaceful and thankful heart brings unity in the body. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. I teach remotely, right? I have to, because we can teach in both ways in the Romanian higher education system. We can teach 50-50 on the campus and remotely. This is a blessing for us because Adriana and I could come to the States a couple of weeks ago and to take care of our personal and some health needs. And that is great because we know that it's a blessing for us that we can continue teaching in Romania. And also we can do our ministry here. But you have to realize that actually I face these kind of problems all the time. It's, the internet is not going well in the States. It's not going well in Romania. Sometimes in Romania, they don't have electricity. And my students say, hey, no crisis today. Nothing we can do about that. Just we try to do as much as we can. And the rest is in God's hands. Anyway, we have here a couple of things. First of all, is peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It is a gift from God, that peace. He wants to give it to us and to enjoy it, our Christian life. Do you realize that actually Satan is the peace for us? You see that? Before joy, Satan takes away the peace from us. And the message of Paul is to the Colossians that were fighting a lot of doctrinal problems in their church. It was, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. As we know, the peace is the tridimensional. It's the peace on the vertical, peace with God, Romans 5:1. And this is the one, the first one that comes to us because God created that peace and helped us to have peace with Him through faith. It is the horizontal peace that is in the church. It's the bond of peace through faith, Paul says to the Ephesians. And internal, peace in our hearts. If we don't have peace in our hearts, we bring trouble around us. Christians that don't have peace with God and with themselves, they will start having troubles with others. And it's good to know that it's very important for us to have this peace and to let it rule. The Greek word here is more than, okay, it is a ruling system. No, it is a decisive factor. It is a control. It's that situation when you know, referee needs to take a decision after the somebody is bringing a contest. Peace of Christ is more than an option. It is God's mandate for the church. God wants us to have peace. That means every time when we are before the Lord, we have to check our peace. To check if we really have peace with God. Because what we have in our hearts, we bring to our meetings. Verse 15 has also two more things. First of all, is that we are called. Next slide, please. Thank you. Thanks. You're called. It's God's purpose for us to live in peace. It's God's purpose for us to live a holy life, from death to life, from sin to a life of righteousness. And also is to be faithful, thankful. If we are thankful, we don't pay attention to small things, right? You know, the American society is a little better than the Romanian society. And I'm telling you why. It's the power distance is different. The American society is a private society when you can live on your own and people don't bother you. If you say that, people will go away. But in other cultures, like the Romanian cultures, the Romanian culture is a relational society. People are interested to come as close as possible to you. There's no personal space. For this reason, sometimes it's very hard to be thankful because people are stepping on your nerves. It happens here too. But I don't want to talk a bad way about the American culture. I have to talk about the American culture. Okay. Verse 16 gives us another blessing from God. It's the word of Christ. A mind full of the word of God brings harmony and stability. What we have is instruction and celebration. In these two ways, we express the devotion to God. I don't know. I teach ecclesiology, church government. And I ask myself a lot of questions why we do certain things. For some people, it's only our tradition and it's good and or bad or whatever. Yeah. But you know what? At the Lord's Supper, we did that. The two aspects, instruction and also celebration. In the beginning of the service, second part of our meeting, it was celebration and now it's instruction. Those two are the pillars of the church life and we have to keep them. We don't have to dilute them. We don't have to water them down. Other singing, not the word of God. We have to stick with those. The word of Christ is very interesting because only here in Hebrews, the word of Christ comes. I know that in some translations like New King James, is the word of God. It's not accurate. The translation from Greek is the word of Christ. That means that it's not about what Christ is saying, but it's about his teaching and teaching about him. That is important. Because in every message, we have to bring the word of God, but we have to show and to look at Christ, because he is the motive, the reason for our meeting and for our worship. Dwell among you richly. Again, it's very interesting because you don't have small things, little things, you know, a little bit. I don't know, it's if you come from a Catholic background or Eastern Orthodox background, and as the word of God is and is not preached, is not explained, is the priests are singing it. And some have beautiful voices, others different other voices. And when they start singing, you don't hear the words. This is the difference between an assembly that teaches the word of God clearly and read the word of God and just saying a few words about I don't know what. This with all wisdom. The message is a positive exposition of the word of God. A warning. The word of God teaches us the holy life, and sometimes it's a warning, sometimes it's a negative aspect, and we have to pay attention to it. You know, only Bible, and I have some people know the yellow pages only on certain parts of the Bible where you have only the blessings and joy and nothing on the part of the sin life and the repentance. But we need both. And also, that should be done with wisdom. People are hurt and they need to be helped. People are in pain and they need to be encouraged. People are sad, are in suffering, emotional suffering, and they need to be encouraged. Also to be helped to see their real status and to come closer to the Lord. The second part of verse 16 talks about singing. The first part is about, next slide, please. Thank you. It's through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. We have to be careful on our singing. You know, here we have three aspects. Some commented some different things, but I think that actually Paul spoke about the psalms, that songs based on scripture and on the book of psalms, hymns as songs about Christ, because hymns in that time were normal to bring praise to different gods. That was the word, hymns. And also songs and spontaneous compositions prompted by the Spirit. With gratitude in your heart, singing together, the main instrument in our shaping is the church, is the assembly, is not people that are performing. Okay. You know, I love singing. I love to see people with gifts singing, but they are just part of the choir. We are the choir. And we also have to be very careful on the words we are singing, because they should be the message from the Lord of God. I'm invited to preach in different churches, and in some churches I hear that kind of song, 7-Eleven songs, you know those, right? I'm asking people, do you realize that actually your message is not toward God, but toward yourselves? Is a Christianity that tries to feel good, not to worship the Lord. The object of our singing is the Lord, it's not us. We just pour our hearts before the Lord and let his word come in us and cleanse us and motivates us and helps us to grow spiritually. The verse 17 talks about, next slide please, talks about submissiveness to God and pure motivations and actions in an act of worship. It is interesting because the worship is not an end on itself, but must lead to action. We worship through our actions. It's not worshiping only in our singing. We don't worship only here. We worship all the time through our actions, through our deeds, through our motivations, through our work for the Lord. Work and deeds, they go in hand in hand all the time. And it talks not only about us as Christians, but our relationship with the world. I was once walking on the street in Bucharest, and one of the guys saw me from the bus. He came down from the bus on the next stop sign, and he came to me and he said, "You know what? I have to ask you a question." Sure, no problem. I didn't know him. He said, "You know what? I was surprised. I saw your face, and you look so relaxed. So, I don't know. I look at the other people they're on the street and they're like this, all of them. Bendy, and you know, the foam on their face. Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Thank you for asking." And I told him, "You know why I'm doing this? I was praying. I was just worshiping the Lord." "Oh, now I understand why your face was so different." My friends, show the world the joy of salvation, and people will be drawn to you. But if you look exactly like them, having the same burden on your shoulders, not letting God take it from you, they don't see the good news. They don't enjoy coming to know Christ. Be who you are, sons and daughters of the Almighty King. Living to the according to the Bible view, not the world view. That makes a big difference in our lives. All of us, we have problems. We have health problems, economical problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems from time to time. But what is the difference between us and the world is that we know where to go and to take all our burden and put it on his cross. and let him pray for us. If not, we'll be as crushed, as sick, as tired as the rest of the world. But we have to live a life that is thankful and fruitful. And the last aspect, before I will show you a few slides, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lordship of Christ. Do it for Him. Do it like an act of worship. He's the Lord. My friends, when you start to imagine the kingdom of God and you see the Almighty God at His throne, just coming closer to you and saying, my son, my daughter, I'm here with you. I would love to share my joys with you, my blessings with you, and also to take your burden away. Don't forget that. We have an Almighty God that is interested in us, and also giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the mediator for us. He wants to take our thanksgiving and bring it before God the Father as an act of worship of His own. That is so wonderful. These are the things that encourage us to live a holy life and to serve Him. Many times in very difficult circumstances, but it's normal. Only the dead fish don't feel the pressure of the river, right? Because it's taken away, it's going down the river. The fish that's alive feels the pressure of the current because swims against the current. And that is God's way of doing things. And now I will tell you a few things about our ministry. Next one, please. First of all, I will show you a few highlights of the ministry. Next one, please. Thank you. We are involved in teaching at the Timotheus Bible Institute in Bucharest, Romania, preaching and teaching in churches in Romania and Europe, radio and TV ministry, conferences and seminars, counseling families in crisis and premarital counseling, mentoring young Christians into spiritual growth and servant leadership ministry, training leaders to become more effective and relevant in the contemporary society, and helping Ukrainians during the Russian invasion. That is the new addition to our ministry. We never dreamed about it. But the Lord has a sense of humor and also a big heart for people in need. First of all, teaching at the Timotheus Bible Institute, we believe that and this is the 2 Timothy 2:2 is the motto of the Timotheus Bible Institute. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the book Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Our students are not regular students, are not young people that graduated from high school and are coming to study in a university. No. All our students are people involved already in the ministry, in the local assemblies. They come at the Timotheus Bible Institute just to be better equipped, to become better servants of the Lord. And they come with a reference from the local assembly, from the elders, that they are involved in the ministries. Because the school is very small, it has only 130 people, It's a four-year program, it's a bachelor's program. We don't have the resources to invest in people just for fun. Like the school is really, really triggered just to help the guest servants to become better servants. Adriana teaches, next one, please. Adriana teaches English as a ministry tool. We didn't have, especially 30 years ago when we started the Institute, we didn't have books at all. And I brought a lot of books from the States, and all of them, they're in English. I don't know, they didn't print any Romanian books yet. And our students need to speak English to at least to learn how to study and to read the Bibles, the books in English. I'm the director for international relationships. I'm also the co-founder of the school with other three Christians. The director for the international relationships is a fancy name for fundraiser. You know that in higher education, especially Christian higher education, you don't make money, you spend money. And they need a lot of resources, and my role is the one that helps to bring the to build up the gap between the needs and the funds they have. But I also teach ecclesiology, pastoral theology, biblical counseling, church administration and finances, and also I teach Christianity in the postmodern society. These classes are important because they are very practical. I used to teach New Testament when I started the school, but I realized that actually the students need more than knowledge. You can take the knowledge from any book. You need more than that. You need practical aspects to help people to understand the word of God, to know how to apply it, and also how to share it with an unseen world. And that is a key to be willing and able to develop the ministry in the way that the church grows, doesn't decrease. We had graduations. You see that we taught, Adriana and both of us, we taught in the campus, and also we are teaching remotely. You see me there in the middle, squeezed between the pictures. Yeah, next slide, please. Here you have some graduates. The Lord blessed us in the last 30 years. We just celebrated in the beginning of the month, 30 years anniversary for the Institute. We had over 700 graduates. Next slide, please. Okay. I'm watching the time. I don't believe that is right. It's 11:59. Be for another few more minutes. Anyway, some stats about the school: over 700 graduates from 12 different countries across Europe, more than 150 pastors, church leaders, and elders, over 300 Sunday school teachers and educators teaching in private and public schools. In Romania, you can still teach Christianity in the public schools up to 12th grade. And our graduates are involved in teaching Christianity. They said their religion class. No, all students are teaching Christianity. And I'm pleased to tell you that so many good examples they gave us, and they told us how many children came to the Lord because of their teaching. And it's wonderful. Yeah. I'm so sorry that here we lost that opportunity to share Christ with children in school. Public evangelists and heads of radio and publishing ministries. We have people involved in many areas, Christian areas. Training translators working on the Bible and other Christian literature. Church planters, who have started 73 churches, 51 in Romania and 22 in other countries of Europe. I have to tell that Adriana and I are involved in those assemblies. They were planted in different countries in Europe because she is a very gifted spiritual mother. She can work with women and she can work with children. That is a plus compared with me. And I'm, because of my specialty, I can help them, the church leaders, to get you know, involved in spiritual life and to grow, to develop their ministries, and to teach them how to do God's work and to become established. We also have missionaries in India, South Africa, and Turkey. One of our graduates is in India, and he started a Bible school over there, and he's doing also a lot of training with other people in the region. And the brothers from India can tell you a lot of things, how hard it can be in certain places and how dangerous it can be. And we pray for him and we help him. We also show you a few pictures from the celebration. You see that. Another aspect of our ministry is preaching and teaching in churches in Romania and Europe. Next slide, please. We preached in over 150 churches in Romania and Europe during our missionary work of over 27 years. And it is wonderful because, you know, the Lord opened many doors for us, not only from the assemblies, but also from other evangelical Christians that are really interested to hear how the Lord is working. I'm also involved in the radio and TV ministry. Next one, please. It is a weekly radio ministry. My sermons are published weekly, and I'm invited to talk on different topics, especially Easter, Christmas, or other events, important events, political, social something. And monthly TV ministry, I'm involved in an interdenominational panel of scholars that we talk about different topics. For example, the last one in June, because after that was the summer break, was on how to save the earth. And we had a Baptist, a brother, me, Pentecostal, and a Orthodox priest, a Catholic priest, and an Adventist pastor. There are six of us, and everybody brought his own perspective on how to save the earth. It was easy for me because I said, okay, I want to have a clean air and clean earth, but I'm more interested in a clean soul. And I had a chance to preach for free, you know, about salvation. It's wonderful. Yeah. We also mentor younger Christians into spiritual. Next one, please. Using Titus 2 for both of us, Adriana teaches the younger women how to be godly wives. And she is great in doing this in conferences and in the small Bible study groups and mentoring one-on-one people. And they do the same with younger men, encouraging them to be sensible, to be people that are really interested in following God's guidance and doing what is good. Next one, please. Thank you. Mentoring young Christians into spiritual growth and servant leadership ministry. As you see there on the sides, Adriana with younger women, helping them to solve emotional problems and also to be godly wives. And in the middle is a couple we mentor. He's a teaching elder in assembly in east part of Romania. And he and his wife needed help with some things, and they came to us to help them. We were also involved in different conferences and seminars. One of them was online this year in February. Next one, please. Okay. Conferences and seminars. Over 80 conferences and seminars, both in Romania and other European countries. And you had different topics I was teaching for those, and I still do that. Next one, please. Different settings, you know, one of them, in the one on the left is on Skype. Actually, it's on Zoom, not on Skype. It was just when we had to close the schools again, and we were very sad about that. Next one, please. Training leaders to become more effective and relevant in the contemporary society. I think that it's very important to be sensitive to the needs of people. Not only say it, the younger people have their own way of feeling and understanding the culture. And I think that it's very important for us, mature Christians, to understand their trend and to help them to come to Christ according to their needs. Unfortunately, many times older Christians don't do that, and they, okay, this is the word of God, let's stick with the word of God. But yeah, but you have to do it in a way that the younger generation will become interested and willing to be part of God's change, because the change is coming. The way we address it is important. Okay, and now, I told you, in February, we had to close the institute again because the Department of Education in Romania said the seventh or eighth wave of COVID is spreading all over the place, and we don't want more people to get sick and die. And we said, man, again, for 1 year and a half, we taught only remotely. It was terrible. We lost a lot of people, their interest in the ministry. And we started to try new ways and creating new classes or so on how to teach during the crisis and how to help people in crisis. So in counseling, I also teach how to do counseling in crisis. But I never thought that can be helpful with a war. And I we just, yeah, next one, please. The war started in February, end of February. And we met as the leadership of the school and said, what we should do? Our dorms were empty because the classes were closed, the campus was closed. And we said, you know what? Let's help open the dorms for the refugees. And we did that. You know, we had two phases, phase one, helping the refugees in Bucharest, March to June, and phase two, helping the people in Ukraine in June, October. That's now we are in the beginning of November, and by God's grace, two transports will go this month also in Ukraine. Helping Ukrainians during the Russian invasion, phase one, next one, please. You know, I didn't plan that. I'm a teacher and I'm involved in training people, but the Lord said, okay, listen, you have to change a little bit and to put in practice what you are teaching. And we did, I don't know, gospel teaching a course at TBI on helping the church during the crisis and teaching a seminar in biblical counseling in time of crisis in Iași. Iași is a big city, very close to the Ukrainian border. And thousands of refugees came in just a few days over there. The people that I trained, over 100 people I trained in Iași, knew how to deal with the refugees because they learned in the seminar on counseling in time of crisis. And we help in this way thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. 300 came to, next one, please. 300 came to Bucharest and stayed in our dorms because they needed papers. They needed passports. Many of them, they left to do what they had done. They didn't have documents for their children, mothers with small children, and they needed ID papers, and they could get those only from the Ukrainian embassy in Bucharest. And we helped them to come and to stay with us for a few days. Our strategy was to have them for a short period of time because we didn't know when we can start teaching again in the campus. And we didn't want to hinder the educational process. It was a lot of cooking, over 3,000 meals, 400 parcels of laundry, a lot of laundry, believe me, especially the small children. Mm-hmm. They were so scared when they came. Yeah, many of them, they woke up in the middle of the night and they ran under the bed because they heard some noises. And they said, break it. It was heartbreaking. And some of them, they wet the bed and, you know, you have to change. But it's important. In the beginning, we didn't have any Christian literature for them. For a couple of weeks, I was calling all over the world, trying to find a place from where they can print Bibles in New Testament in Ukrainian. After a few weeks, almost 3 weeks, we got the news. Hey, we have Bibles in New Testament in Ukrainian. Okay, how many do you want? 10,000, I said. They sent us 10,000 Bibles in New Testament in Ukrainian. They sent us also a couple of hundred Bibles in Russian because that's for Bibles in Russian, just in case, you know that. We started to give those to everybody. When they left, they said, oh, you know, give me more, because we gave one. Give me more. I'm going to my friends in France or England. And I'm sure that they want to read the Bible too. Because we used to take those people to our chapel in the campus. And it was so moving to see those people with tears in their eyes. You see when they saw the songs and the word of God in Romanian and Ukrainian. Mm. And they were so encouraged, and they said many of them were Eastern Orthodox Christians. They were not evangelicals like us. And I said, man, we didn't know that you can worship God in this way. And I had a very interesting story with a man that was with his family. You know that being the martial law, the man couldn't leave the country only if from 19 to 60. Only they had 3 children or more. And this man came because he had a large family. He came to us to stay for the passport of his children. And I took him to the chapel. And after that, he was telling me with tears in his eyes, man, let me tell you something. I come from a town in Ukraine that the Baptist church was next to my home. I had friends that attended that church and they asked me to come with them. I refused all the time. And now I'm so sorry that I missed so many blessings. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, maybe this bad situation you are in right now, it would be a blessing for you. Because the Lord took you out from your comfort zone, brought you here. And he wanted to meet you and to come closer. It was amazing. We had, it was that long period before Easter when many Orthodox people are fasting. And some of them, they came to us and they said, you know what? I would like to make a confession. May I confess to you? Because they used to, all our volunteers, 35 plus volunteers, were young people, students and graduates from TBI. And we were the older couple. And they said, okay, the priest and his wife. They told them about me and Adriana. And they came for confession. And I heard them, I prayed for them, and I helped them to hear the word of God. It was pretty hard because just a few spoke English. But praise the Lord, we live in the 21st century, and we had a lot of translation apps. You know, it was telling this, even that it was interesting. It took longer, but when they saw our interest in their life and in their desire, then we helped them physically, emotionally, financially, medically. We helped them so many ways. We bought things for them. It's, next one, please. Adriana was talking with women, playing with the children. It was so, so great. A lot of kids around her. Next one, please. I'm sorry, I didn't plan to take it too long. And also, we, yeah. The next one. You see a couple there with a young child. Both of us are TBA graduates, and they get so involved in the work that I asked him to be the manager for the operation, the whole operation. It was close to 40 volunteers. And he has a very wonderful gift of administration. He's very good in organizing and moving things around. And that was a blessing for us because we could be involved only in the spiritual aspect and helping them in their spiritual and emotional needs. But end of May, beginning of June, the number of refugees was smaller and smaller till stopped. What happened? The Ukrainians started opening their own camps, refugee camps, and you know that the world is on north and east side of Ukraine, but the west side, especially southwest side, is free of war. Ukraine is a big country. And they opened the campus there of over 1,000 beds. And they started, the refugees from the east side started to go on the west side on their own countries, but they didn't have anything. And our people from the border started to cross the border and to help them with humanitarian aid, medicine, food, gas, you know, water. It's they didn't have anything, and they don't have anything. Especially when the Russians are attacking all the electrical plants. And this week, on Thursday, for example, more than 450,000 Ukrainians lived in darkness because of the bombardments. And more than that, it's 220 chapels were destroyed since the war started. And people are meeting in the open air. And the cold weather is coming, and there it is harsh. You know, it is so much suffering, and they need help. And we're starting to work with the people in our south of the Ukrainian border to go to cross the border and to help as much as they can. Next one, please. And we started to send funds to them, and they are making boxes or even buying things directly in Ukraine and giving to those people because they don't have many things. Next one, please. You see the red truck there. That was a van. That one is an armored truck. They took material aid. On the left, you see the white truck. That is Romanian. And the Ukrainians put the things from the Romanian truck to their truck, and they took it to the war zone because there are so many churches in need over there. It was difficult for the Romanian drivers to go to that direction because the Russians could stop them and to rob them and also to kill the drivers. But the Ukrainian drivers knew the back roads, you know, and they knew how to to go there. Next one, please. In the war zone, you can see that people in need receive help. And also you see a couple of Russian tanks that are destroyed by the Ukrainian army. Next one, please. It is a lot of need. You see the trucks full of humanitarian aid, and also hundreds of people waiting in line to seek help. The situation is the same, my friends. And I encourage you to think about this. We want to thank you so much for being involved emotionally, spiritually, and also financially with the work. And I understood that CMS has the fund open, and please continue to help if you can, because the need is great. And the last one, please. And here you have some prayer requests or prayer requests. Please pray. It is a lot of prayer need, and we need God's help and God's people to be our partner. And to pray with us and to work alongside of us. It's 12:22. I'm a man of radio and TV. I'm all the time with the eyes on the clock. I know that the service ended at noon. So we still have a few more minutes to answer your questions. If you have. Father, we thank you for providing for us your peace, your word, and your wonderful name to be better servants and to have a thankful life. We thank you for providing for our bodies and for our souls, for protecting us and helping us to become a blessing for the people around us. We ask your help for the people in need, in praying, for the babies that are waiting, those in need. For all the people in Europe that are suffering from their lack of food and the inflation is so high. And doing the most of all, we ask you for your special blessing to make people come to know you and to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you for this time.